True story. Not long ago, Sabine Moreau, she's a 67-year-old woman who lives in Belgium. She was driving to pick up a friend who lives in Brussels, Belgium, about 130 kilometers from where Sabine lives. So Sabine used her GPS to guide her there. But there was a problem with her GPS. So based on the faulty directions she got from her GPS, Sabine drove all the way to Croatia, nearly 1,700 kilometers away. I'm not making this up. The journey took Sabine across 5 international borders. She stopped several times along the way to get gas, even to take naps. And she just kept listening to her GPS and pressing onward until she hit Zagreb, the capital of Croatia. And for some reason, finally, that triggered an awareness. Hey, something's off here. Her son had already called the police because she'd been gone for a couple of days already. She was interviewed later by a Belgian reporter, and she said this: "I wasn't paying that much attention." "Oh, really?" "So I just kept going, because that's what my GPS was telling me to do. But when I passed Zagreb, I told myself, I should turn around." It pays to know where you're heading. And I bring that up because as we launch into this new year together, and before we celebrate by eating pastries, there's apple strudel, cinnamon knots out there. I want us to first be clear on where we're heading, what our objective is as we move into this year. So that's what we're going to consider together today, just so we're all clear on this. And really, so you can also weigh, do I want to head there? So where we're heading this year, it involves two objectives, really, to put it that way, two parts to what I want to share with today. And first, begin here. Maybe you've noticed that through Scripture, the great men and women of God, they kind of speak of one shared passion. In fact, Moses expressed it this way. In a prayer to God, in Exodus 33:18, Moses said this: "Please show me your glory, God." And then you move to the Psalms. And the psalmist, in Psalm 42:1, this was his prayer: "As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. I hunger for you." And then, long after that, after God came into the flesh of the earth, the Apostle Paul wrote this in his letter to the church in Philippi. This is in the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And remember, as we hear these scriptures, this is the word of God. And Paul wrote in verse 8, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." And then he continues, "For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, as garbage, in order that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." Okay, so we're reminded as we launch that the greatest objective of followers of Christ is to know Jesus. Every other mission pales in comparison to this one. And you might be thinking, well, of course that's the greatest objective. But I think we're then prompted to ask this. Okay, so do our lives, does our life as a church body reflect that then? Because understand, knowing Jesus does not just mean knowing facts about him. To know Christ, it's not just kind of reciting his biblical resume or hearing testimony of what he's done in someone else's life. Knowing Jesus, it involves encountering him personally and finding out that he is who he says he is. I mean, think of the Apostle Paul, for example. I mean, Paul had been trained by the best, religiously speaking. In fact, he sat at the feet of a great rabbi called Gamaliel. And truly, Gamaliel was possibly the leading religious scholar in the world in Paul's day. And so Paul knew his Bible, the Old Testament as we now call it. He knew all of that by memory. He studied theology rigorously. He knew a ton about God. But then that same guy would write in Philippians, and I used to be content with a lot of knowledge about God, but then one day, I met him. I encountered him. And that has made a wild difference in my life. Because despite all of my knowledge and religious training, I never knew him. Let's understand this. Many believe errantly that the Christian life, this gospel, is primarily about the formation of our character and morals. Many believe that. And I want us to be clear, it's not. That's not primarily what this is about. I mean, it can and typically will be an outcome of this life. But let's understand, this Christian life, it's primarily about, listen, participation in the life of the ascended Son of God, Jesus Christ. It's about union with God himself. Drink that in for a minute. Many of you know Dr. Gordon Smith, who's a good friend of us here at Southview. And Gordon shared the story of being driven from the airport in Beirut, Lebanon, to nearby Arab Baptist Theological Seminary, where Gordon was going to teach. And his driver on this day, it was a Muslim convert to Jesus Christ. So Gordon asked him how he came to Christ. And the driver said he'd read about Jesus in the Quran, and then he started secretly studying about Jesus. And one night, he encountered Jesus in a dream. So Gordon said, "Oh, you had a dream about Jesus." And the driver said, "No, I met Jesus in a dream." That is, he had a real-time encounter with Jesus. Is that not what we want for each person? And I don't mean necessarily by a dream, but just not merely learning about Jesus, but encountering him. I mean, look at what Paul said. Just in the previous letter, the church in Ephesus, Paul wrote this in Ephesians 1:16. And he wrote to them, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." And what is Paul's prayer for them? His primary request for them, look at verse 17. "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation." For what end? "In the knowledge of him." Paul's saying, this is my prayer for you. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would bring revelation so you'd know Jesus even more. So here's the thing. It's possible to be around Jesus, to even call yourself a follower of Christ, to call yourself a Christian, and not really know Christ. There's an interesting encounter in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 14, it tells us that a disciple of Jesus named Philip, after following Jesus for several years, came to Jesus and said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father." And then Jesus replied with these words, John 14:9, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me?" And think, Philip had been essentially living with Jesus for 3 years. "Philip, you're around me a ton. You still don't know me." One author, expressing the overconfidence that some have in their attitudes concerning their relationship with Christ, writes these words. "Perhaps the greatest deception the enemy has released on this generation is a false sense of security and contentment." And he goes on to write, "The problem with many of our generation is that we've decided that we know God. My sense often is, we do not know God or Jesus. We know church, perhaps. We know protocol. Perhaps we even know Greek or Hebrew. Maybe we know each other. But I think few of us have come to know Christ." So just as a means to remind us of this focus we want to have, perhaps you've seen our church symbol around. It's just a tool to remind us of what we want to be about. And so it also reminds us of three key relationships that Jesus modeled for us. For one, we could say the up relationship he had with his Father. So at the center of what we're about is the up relationship, the cross of Christ, walking in relationship with him. And then beyond that up relationship, there's the in relationship in community, like us gathered here to walk in support of one another. And it's not just up and in, but then the arrows. We are called to go out, those relationships of living out Christ, his love, to the world around us. And then praise God, we know this. This isn't just a life of self-effort, but the S reminds us in their symbol of the Spirit, that we have the Holy Spirit of God himself enabling us to live this way. And therefore, the first fruit that should mark us as a community of faith is love, the L. And to that end, God has given us two incredible gifts to help nourish these relationships. One is the Word of God. That's why we come to it every time we gather. And then prayer, this gift God has given us to share our hearts with him, to seek to listen to him in life. But let me just say this. All of that together is to remind us of this. It's all about Jesus. Amen? All of it. Doug Coe, he was a guy who had a ministry among really the corridors of power in Washington, D.C. And he tells about a prayer meeting that he attended there. And it was a meeting that was held regularly for people involved in government, federal offices. So people would kind of come and go to this group. And one day, a guy named Arthur Burns showed up. Now, some of those there would have known Arthur was a formidable person involved for many, many years in financial policy at some of the highest levels. So as far as anyone knew, at that point in time, Arthur wasn't even interested in spiritual things. I mean, he was from a Jewish background. So it was no small surprise to have him show up for a prayer meeting. Now, the guy who was leading the meeting didn't really know much about Arthur or his spiritual background. He just thought he was another guy who wanted to gather together to pray. So because Arthur really hadn't said much during the prayer meeting, at the end of the meeting, the leader turned to Arthur and said, "Would you pray to close our meeting?" Now, Doug Coe, who was at the meeting, said, "At that point, I just kind of took a deep breath because I had no idea what would happen next. I mean, Arthur was a Jewish man who was attending this prayer gathering for the first time. So picture this. They all bowed their heads, and then Arthur Burns prayed. And this was a prayer. God, may all Jews come to know Jesus. May all Muslims come to know Jesus. May all Christians come to know Jesus. Amen." Is that not a fabulous prayer? Not that we grade prayers. That's a great prayer. Because in this, for some of you here, again, you might call yourself a Christian, but honestly, maybe you need to meet Jesus again. I don't know what your previous experience has been in a local church at all, but I want you to know that this is our heart desire here. And just be reminded as we gather here in these gathering places this weekend, the reason we gather like this together, it's not for some religious fix. We don't do this just to kind of enhance spirituality. We're not doing this to earn God's or anybody else's approval. The reason we gather like this, first of all, is to know him. We do this to know and receive from Jesus. So know this. Where are we heading? First of all, this is it. To know Jesus. Would you say it with me? To know Jesus. Okay. Then there's a second part, a second objective of where we're heading. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to play a game called hide and seek. I mean, I don't know if it's still played. There's probably an app for it now, but anybody here actually ever play hide and seek? I hope you have. It's actually a very simple game, very simple rules. Everybody hides, one person seeks. And if you played, it's kind of a humbling thing to be the seeker, because when you think about it, the one who seeks doesn't even get much of a title. Because in other games, people get to be captain, or center, or quarterback. In hide and seek, the one who searches is just called it. not captain it, just it. It's not much of a title, is it? It. And again, no one wants to be it because, understand, it's not fun to be it. It's not fun to search for people who are deliberately trying to evade you. Nobody wants to be it. In fact, when I played the game started by everybody yelling, not it. So it goes on a search, and it humbly looks for people who don't want to be found by it. And when the game is over, when the time is up, it will cup its hands and shout out a cry that ends the game. Ali, Ali, oxen free, which is a Latin term that means liberate the cattle. I don't know if it does. It sounded right. What it actually means in the game is this. It's time to stop hiding. You're safe now. You can come home. So God, the holy, just creator of the universe, the all-powerful God, has said, I'm it. I'm it. And ever since humanity, ever since we turned away from God, fell into sin, everybody's been hiding from God. And because we have all failed morally, we've all done things we're ashamed of. We all cover stuff up. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, a Pharisee, a prostitute, a drug dealer, or a CEO. That's been our pattern for all of history. And God says, I am it. And I'm coming to find you. And then Jesus, God in the flesh, was it. He said, the reason I'm here is to find and save those who are lost. And Jesus tried to communicate again and again the heart of God the Father in this. So in the Gospel of Luke, for example, chapter 15, Jesus tells one story, one parable after another, saying, understand, this is what God is like. So Jesus says at one point, understand, our God is like a shepherd who has 99 sheep. Now understand, in that day and culture, that person was really well off in that day. Only one sheep is missing, he says. But that shepherd has such a heart for that lost sheep, he puts aside safety. He goes after that one lost sheep. And once he finds it, Jesus said, it's like there's a celebration in heaven. And Jesus right from there goes on and says, or picture this, our God is like a woman who has money. And again, she has 9 of her coins, valuable coins in her purse. So again, she's really doing well in this. Only one coin is lost, but she still turns her house upside down and she goes nuts pursuing that one lost coin. And when she finds it, she calls the whole neighborhood in to party together and celebrate because a lost has been found. And Jesus says, that's what our God is like. Our God is it. The holy, righteous maker of heaven and earth is it. And one day, he came looking for you and me. And then through Jesus, it's like this great cosmic cry has gone out. Ali, Ali, oxen free. Stop hiding. You can come home. It's safe. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of our God. And then, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he said these stunning words to his followers. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, after Jesus' followers had seen the Holy Spirit work so powerfully in Jesus to draw people to God, Jesus says this to his followers. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said to them, okay, now you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and now you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, yeah. But beyond that, in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And what Jesus was saying here that his followers didn't fully grasp yet was that Jesus' invitation to this kingdom life, it wasn't just for Jews. It was for Samaritans. It was for the ends of the earth, all nations, Gentiles, for everyone. But it meant more than that. It meant that also now the followers of Jesus are the messengers. And Jesus' followers, they'd eventually come to realize, okay, here's what the Holy Spirit is up to. We're it now. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. That was his mission. But now he's given the Holy Spirit to us. And now we're it. Now we are called through the power of God within us to find lost sheep, lost coins, and invite them to come into a new life in Jesus. And the disciples finally realize at some point, everything's changed. I mean, we can never go back. We don't want to go back. It's all Jesus now. And so therefore, the heart of the early church was, we will make any change, we'll pay any price, we'll remove every barrier between people and God, except for the scandal of the cross itself. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we are it. So now today we ask, so what about us? What about you? How do we respond to this reality? Because you know what the church has said at times in its history? Not it. No thanks. Don't want to do that. It's for other people to do. I don't want to appear like we're carried away with this. And so people have said things like, maybe we should form a committee that does that. Maybe we should wait until a church is better established. It's probably the right thing to do, but not now. Things are just so busy in life. Let's just wait a while. And friends, that's why we made certain that on our symbol are those arrows. To remind us the way we live this out, we have to live it out. Expressing the love and compassion of Christ. In our words, yes, but in our actions also. So I just want you to know this. If you've just come to Southview, perhaps, or I want to remind you, if you've been here for many years, we are all about Jesus. And we, like the early church, we will change anything we need to change as long as it allows us to achieve the unchanging mission. Everybody come home. Stop hiding from God. He invites you to himself. Whatever it takes to that end. I mean, Jesus loves you, and he wants you to know him. Jesus. Maybe you know the name of Richard Dawkins. He's a British biologist, atheist also. He wrote the book, The God Delusion. And you might also know he is very hostile towards religion, towards faith, towards Christianity particularly. But he also wrote this. There's something about Jesus, he wrote. I think he even printed up on t-shirts with that phrase printed on it. In fact, he was thinking of actually starting an organization called Atheists for Jesus. Because there's something about Jesus that has intrigued and compelled the human race for 2,000 years. And it's not just his moral teachings. It's not just the things he said about how human beings ought to live. It is the fact that Jesus is what God is about in the world. And we just can't get away from it. Jesus is the source of life, of hope, of truth. He is the pathway to God. So now, like today, the question is, will you and I be it in our little worlds, our neighborhoods, our workplaces? And truly, the question for us as a church is, will we be it as we walk through this year? Because we have two simple objectives through this year. It's this, to know Jesus and to make him known. Would you say those with me? To know Jesus, to make him known. And I want you to know about a couple of initiatives with that purpose in mind. There are many more than a couple, but I just want you to be aware of this. Ways we can tie into this. I mean, for example, starting next weekend, we're going to start a new teaching series in our gatherings. All right, we're calling it PACE. And we're doing that because we know this. We know that one of the great challenges in our day, with all the expectations and obligations in our lives, is trying to figure out a pace in life that doesn't overwhelm, wither, and utterly drain us, but kind of enables us to be marathoners in life, rather than just joining society and being withered sprinters. And so we're going to be asking a question. What would God's word say about this? What would Jesus teach us, guide us with? So we're going to be considering that together in coming weekends. And it would be a great opportunity for a friend or neighbor, whatever, to say, this is what we're talking about at church. You want to come out and talk about it together? Or a second initiative I want you to know about. It's our Alpha ministry. And if you're not aware of this, Alpha is actually, it's a 12-week program that's specifically geared towards those who are asking questions about the Christian faith. And again, whether they're just beginning to consider Jesus or maybe have been walking with him for many years. And it's just a very safe, non-judgmental place to ask questions. And again, if you haven't been to Alpha, it's just really three very simple elements when they gather together. For one, it starts with just a light supper together, a chance to get to meet others in this. And then second element is this. It's just a short talk on video about some element of the Christian faith. And dealing with questions like, how does God guide us in life? I mean, who is Jesus? How do I pray? I mean, how do I develop a relationship with God? Is there more to life than just this? And so after that short video talking about that, then the third element is then just discussions around tables with just a small group. And that all starts on Thursday, September 28th. And understand with these discussions, they're very non-threatening discussions. And maybe in this, you'd hear about that and go, you know what? I'd be open to leading a table discussion on that. Can I train you for doing that? This is what you do if you're a table leader. If someone gives an opinion to answer one of those questions, your job is to go, that's very interesting. What do you all think? You're trained. You can do it now. Or maybe you'd say, I want to invite a friend. How many of us, aren't all of us asking questions like this? Alpha is a great place to join with others, to build relationships along the way. And if you feel like, okay, before I lead a group or invite a friend, I'd like to know more. Well, we have an Alpha training session this Thursday, September 14th, here at Walden at 7 o'clock. So you can just get an idea, what is this all about? Because I'll tell you this, Alpha, for whatever reason, has been an unusually anointed ministry worldwide. I don't fully know why, but it has been. And it's just a great tool to reach out to others with. And so just want you to know this. This year, we would love to have you join us on this journey of knowing and following Jesus. And then through his power to make him known. And if you're wondering, okay, so Clyde, what's required? Any prerequisites to be part of this? Do I have to get my life in order? Do I need to act more churchly? No. There's just one requirement, actually. And Jesus spoke of it in the Gospel of John. This is how Jesus put it in John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 37, Jesus said this. Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, if anyone thirsts, that's it. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What's the prerequisite? You need to be thirsty. You need to be seeking more in life, seeking some kind of life. And so I'll tell you as well, if you're satisfied with life as it is, with the status quo, if you feel like I want to be king of my own life, honestly, I don't think this is a place you want to be. I think I'll just annoy you through the year. But listen, if you are thirsty, it doesn't matter what you've done or how big a mess your life seems to be or how unchristian you think you look or even want to look. Jesus says to you, it's safe. Come out of hiding. Come home to me. And so it seems fitting, friends, that we close this time as we launch this year by corporately praying together. And we're going to do that by song. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And then here, Mosaic, Sean, and Brett are going to come with worship team and lead us in a song. It might be new to many of you, but let's sing this as a prayer to God together, all right? Let me pray, and then we'll pray collectively. So, Father, as we move into this year, we move by beginning, acknowledging, confessing to you. Oh, Lord, we need you. So would you, by your grace and your spirit, lead us to yourself? And would you also, by your spirit, use us in a way that is winsome, gracious, loving, to draw others to the wonder of Christ himself? This we pray, Father, and now we sing these words to you as our prayer together. in Jesus' name. And again, all God's people say, amen.